Grab all your Bibles and stand with me. So many churches today don't believe this, so we're going to say it like we mean it. This is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. If you remain standing with me, please, turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We're on a series of sermons about the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. We can't have a complete series about the Holy Spirit without talking about the opposing spirits. This may be a little uncomfortable at points for some of you, but this is all scriptural stuff. Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you that we have the Bible, we have the book, we have the truth. And I pray, Lord, that as it is spoken forth, I pray your Holy Spirit would illuminate it, that your anointing would be upon it. Hide your servant behind the cross once again. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I just titled this sermon, Spirits. Spirits, small s. We as human beings are the interesting part of God's creation. We are made up of the elements that are found in this earth. Dirt. You find those elements that we're made up of in the earth, in this creation. And God made us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 47 says this. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Again, speaking of those two entities, the earth, the carnal, and the spiritual. And we're talking about the two lives of those two entities in a person. We are made up, we are human bodies, flesh and blood, made up of the elements of the earth. But in Genesis, God breathed life into Adam. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it talks about how that God breathed life into Adam. He breathed a spirit into him. He breathes the soul into him. And that spirit is never going to die. Each one of us have a spirit in us that's unique from the animal kingdom. It's unique from anything that God created before. Let us make man in our image, is what God said. So we have this spirit that's in us, that dwells inside this flesh body, that is connected to it. That's the way God created us. Until this flesh dies and our spirit lives, and that's what we talk about in funerals, our spirit lives on. And that's why it's important to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If we died and we were gone, it wouldn't matter, would it? We'd be dead, it wouldn't matter. But instead, our bodies decay back to the dust, from ashes, dust to dust. But our spirit, our soul, lives on. And then, of course, there are a couple of options. You can spend eternity in heaven, or you can spend eternity in hell. There really isn't any place in between, contrary to some people's beliefs. There is one of two places that we will spend eternity. And eternity is a long time. Amen? Long. 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 Long time. And I could go on with the longs for a long time. And we live on this earth. I'm just going to have another birthday, I guess. Even though it's against my will. Kind of forced to have one. And I'm getting older. And which means I'm closer to going back to dust. Unless Jesus comes, which kind of starting to shape up like that. But my soul, my spirit, will live on. And I don't want to spend eternity someplace like hell. I don't know how spirits and souls feel pain. But obviously, there is punishment in missing heaven, and I don't really want to do that. Doesn't heaven sound like an awesome place? I mean, you know, if you had a choice between heaven or hell, wouldn't you take heaven? I mean, really? I mean, that's a no-brainer, I would think. And how easy is it just to give yourself to Christ? I mean, he gave himself to us, didn't he? Well, I'm kind of getting off the track here a little bit. Actually, that's never off the track when you're talking about that. So, God breathed this life into Adam, and we all have it. The life that's in us is not something that just happened in the primeval ooze of this elements of this world. It is something beyond this world. The life that we have in us is something that God has given us. That as we walk this life, as we walk this planet in the flesh, we are not very aware of the spirits of our spirit. We're not very aware of our spirit, really, because we can't see it. And we don't really think much about it a lot of times. The Bible helps us to understand that. But it's unseen. And surrounding us in the spiritual world are other spirits. And some of them are not good. We don't see them either. Sometimes it's like the wind. We see the effects of them. But we don't see the spirits that are around us. And we notice in the text this morning that we read, there is some description of those not so good spirits around us. There are four things it talks about them being principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. So we're talking about a kind of a sophisticated, organized group of spirits. Spiritual host of wickedness. And so that talks about them, labels them as not being very good. They're not holy. And here's some of the other things that the Scripture says or calls them in the New Testament. At one point, it calls them the spirit of devils, talking about these spirits, and we call them demons. Spirit of devils, unclean, calls them unclean spirits, calls them foul spirits, calls them deaf and dumb spirit, and that was because the person whom they were in was deaf and dumb. I don't know, you know, the nuances of that, but it was caused by the spirit, so they call it a deaf and dumb spirit, an evil spirit, and wicked spirits. None of those are very good. These spirits are not out to bless mankind, but just the opposite. And we live in their world. So we were designed for the Garden of Eden, where God walked every day. And we got cast out of that garden because of Adam's sin. And I know a lot of people are mad at Adam for that. Some of you are mad at Eve for that. Actually, if Adam hadn't have done it, I probably would have, and then you'd be mad at me. So we're just gonna not put any blame there, but we are out of the garden. And let's blame it on the devil. Our flesh, nor our spirits, are really any match for these evil spirits or these unclean spirits that are around us, these devils that are around us that have malicious intent for us. We really don't have much defense against them. It is the Spirit of God and the name of Jesus that overpowers these dark forces. Now, this reminds me I should shut off my cell phone. There, it's on silent. Thank you. The Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. Now we're going to look at Acts. This is a sad story, but it's also hilarious. Acts 19 and verse 11. Now I want to make a point in this story that I said it's the name of Jesus and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that overcomes them. But these men had the name of Jesus, but they didn't have the Spirit of God in their hearts. So here, let's listen to this. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Do you get that? I don't get it, but I believe it, because the power of the Holy Spirit was there. Verse 13, then some of the itinerant Jews, exorcists, took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and he said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? How would you like to have been them that day? But who are you? Why didn't the spirits know who they were? Because they weren't Christians. They weren't child of God. Paul was. Paul gave his life to Christ. Paul was a child of God. The evil spirits knew Paul. They knew they were powerless against Paul because he had the Holy Spirit. These guys had the name of Jesus, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit. The evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And then the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them, overpowered, there's a key word, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. That would be a good YouTube video. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Now, these guys were using the name of Jesus, but it says the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. They figured it out that you had to have a personal relationship. That's why Jesus' name was magnified. They say, well, we tried to use Jesus' name, and it didn't work. We got beat up. Everybody knew that you had to have a relationship with Jesus in order to use Jesus' name, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus' name was lifted up. And verse 18, and many who had believed came, confessing and telling their deeds. And what kind of deeds were they confessing and telling? It says here in the next verse, also many of these who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 5,000 pieces of silver. Okay, I want you to think about this for a minute. The darkness had a grip on these people, and the fact that they could, that the powers of darkness are capable of manifesting things, magic, things happen. You're invested in the powers of darkness, things can happen. And they would have never dared burn those books for fear of the evil spirits if they hadn't found something that was more powerful. And what was that? A personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the indwelling of Jesus in their lives, the Holy Spirit in them. They were no longer afraid of these evil spirits. They knew that the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, a personal relationship with Him, rendered you victorious over all the powers of darkness. So that's why they did it. And the books were burned, stacks and stacks of them, worth a ton of money. And verse 20, it says, So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. That's the key word there. See, these seven sons of Sceva were overcome, and the demons prevailed against them, and now these people are prevailing against the powers of darkness. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There is a battle going on in the realm that we can't even see, but we do know that we win. I often tell new Christians this. One of the things that happens with a new Christian who's just learning scriptures, they begin to realize, not only did I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and I've got this whole new wonderful life, suddenly I realize that I'm more of an enemy of the devil than I was before. Now, some people think that if you're not a Christian, the devil likes you. Not, he doesn't like anybody. He's out to destroy everybody. It just makes it a little tougher for him if you have the authority within you to be able to withstand his wiles, his schemes. And so they succumb to the whispering of the enemy saying, now you're in deep trouble. We're going to take you down because you are a Christian. That's what the enemy begins to whisper to them. They become fearful. That's what I tell them. I tell them there are spirits all around us, and many of them are not good. By the way, angels, it says in the Bible, are ministering spirits. It says that God is a spirit in the Bible. So, I mean, there's a whole lot more going on in the spirit realm than there is in the physical realm. You know what I'm saying? We're just kind of wandering around here in all this. But anyway, I tell them, if you walk into a room and there isn't any other Christians in that room, and the room is full of evil spirits, you are the authority in that room as a Christian. You don't have to be a mature Christian. You don't have to be a Billy Graham. You don't have to be, you know, somebody with a name like the Apostle Paul. You just have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and have Him living in you, that Spirit residing in you, and you have authority over the powers of darkness. How many demons did Jesus have to wrestle to get them out? None. One of them said, can we go into the... Well, several of them, a whole multitude of them said, can we go into the hogs? That was about the only discussions. He told them to be quiet several times because they were talking as they came out, and didn't want them to be telling people who he was because they knew. Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? So, he didn't have any trouble with these evil spirits. They knew that he had authority over them, and they had to listen to him when he cast them out. They went. There was no argument. And so it is with the church today. The church that understands that the power of the church is the Holy Spirit, understands that the power of Jesus was the Holy Spirit as he walked this earth, is going to be able to deal with the powers of darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It says that we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil as Christians. 2 Corinthians 2:11. It says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, what was happening here in the setting of this is that in 1 Corinthians, Paul told the church to punish somebody who was living live-in sexual thing, incest almost type thing. And so they punished this guy, and then Paul said, okay, now he's been punished, back off, restore him. And in the process of all this, Paul, at the end of it, he says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And why is it that Christians are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy, of the devil? Why is it that we can know what's going on to a degree that it's just important to us? One is that we have the Bible. Our eyes are open to see what's going on in the Scriptures. It helps us to understand the truth of the Word of God. That's a very important part of understanding. It's like the things I'm talking to you today are in the Bible. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to talk about evil spirits, but it's part of the truth. Okay, the second thing is that the Holy Spirit gives us discernment. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. It's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm just going to focus on this one right now. Verse 10 says, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Discerning of spirits. That's being able to... Now, before you think, well, what do I need to discern about spirits? Well, we know that there's angel spirits. We know now that God is a spirit. We know that it's the Holy Spirit. We know we've got a spirit. We know that there are evil spirits, unclean spirits, and there's all kinds of different levels of them. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will just tell us what we're dealing with. Now, I'm not one that goes around naming demons. If God gives me a name, fine, but I'm not interested in what their names are. I don't care whether they're a spirit of this, a spirit of that, a spirit of the other, beyond. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't really care. All I care is that they're gone, right? I don't care what their name is. I don't think I need to call their name to get their attention. I need to call the name of Jesus to get their attention. You know what I'm saying? But the discernment as to what's going on maybe in some place, in some part of your life, or something is going on, and the Holy Spirit can give us discernment. So we understand some of what's going on in the spiritual realm around us by reading the Bible and understanding what the Bible says about the spirit realm, and then also having discernment of the Holy Spirit. This is what the church needs. Amen? The church needs discernment of spirits. On the cross, the powers of darkness and Jesus Christ had it out. I mean, when Jesus came to walk this earth, he came into the realm of the powers of darkness. This is where the demons and the devils are banished to. This is where they live, this earth and the surrounding atmosphere. This is where they live. This is understand it all exactly, but this is where they are. And when Jesus came, he came as an authority over them. They kind of had things all lined up and in order, and they had it all set. And Jesus came in as the spoiler. But they thought they had Jesus when they got him on the cross. And they killed him. That was all wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But they didn't know that it was all set by God ahead of time. This is the way it was supposed to happen. So I'm sure that the demons and the devils and the powers of darkness had a great celebration the night that Jesus died. It was Friday. It was Friday, but Sunday was coming. I love it. What was it? Is it Carmen that does that? Oh, no. What is it? There's shaking going on in the grave. Anyway, and then the countdown, and Jesus raises from the grave, and the powers of darkness are completely shaken because now Jesus has gotten the upper hand. Part of the reason that he did that. They are no longer the supreme authority on this earth. Now, God always had an upper hand, but now Jesus has broken their hold on us. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. Jesus' words, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys to Hades and death. Hallelujah! Jesus has the keys. He's the boss. And one of the scriptures that I almost always read at a funeral is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting verse 51. And I'm working towards verse 55 here, but we'll start with 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. Now from verse 51 to 53, we're talking about the body. We're already changed on the inside when we receive Christ. We already, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. But our bodies are placed in the ground. They stay there. We get to have them back. But fortunately, they come back the way they were supposed to be in the first place, renewed and incorruptible. Kind of like what Adam and Eve started with. So, verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, they shall be brought to pass, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? That's all because of what Jesus did. He took the keys away from the buggers, and now they can't keep us. They can't even keep our body. They certainly can't keep our soul, our spirit, but they can't even keep our body. Because Jesus is going to take that back too at the rapture, and we'll get it back with many improvements. How many of you like some improvements on your body? I can think of a few right now for me, but we won't go there. 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can see it up here, verse 57. Why don't we all read this together? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That sounded so good. I think we'll do that one more time. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I have one scripture left, and I am done. Jesus raised from the dead. Exactly how did that happen? Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 11. That's not what I'm looking for. Okay, the scripture I'm looking for is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Anybody get the reference to that? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. What Spirit is that? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead. And that's the same Spirit that dwells in you. The purpose of that, the reason that the Bible tells us this, is so that we can understand the power of the Holy Spirit and be able to receive or be able to reap the benefits of the victory that Jesus Christ has. It was for our benefit. He didn't need it. He already had it before he came to walk this earth. He laid it down and he got it back and he beat up the powers of darkness in the process. And then he gave us the power and authority over him. Not such a scary place after all, when you realize that if there's a boogeyman under your bed, it's okay if the Holy Spirit is in your heart. I don't remember which old-time preacher was, an old revivalist preacher, I don't know if it was Smith Wigglesworth or who it was, woke up in the middle of the night one night, somebody was standing at the foot of his bed. I think he was in a motel in a city where he was having a revival meeting. And he recognized this person or this thing standing at the foot of his bed. He recognized him as the devil. How would you like to wake up and see the devil standing at the foot of your bed? Well, the story goes, he looked at him and said, "Oh, it's just you." And he rolled over and went back to sleep. Serious. How's that for victory? Amen. That's the kind of victory you're looking for. You want, if the church wants to be effective today, we have to realize that the effectiveness is in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit is what drove and powered Jesus, what needs to drive and power the church, what needs to drive and power you. And it's all there and available. We're going to continue to talk about it. We need the power of discernment when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Perhaps there's someone here that would say, "Pastor, I am not living my life as I know that I should. I feel like I am somewhat separated from where I need to be with Christ, and I'd like you to pray for me." Just slip your hand up, I'll see it. I see that hand, you can put it down. That's a big statement. I see that hand, you can put it down. It takes a brave person to do that. I see that hand, you can put it down. I see that hand, you can put it down. See that hand, you can put it down. Several people here, and this only happens because it's the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in your heart. Perhaps there's someone here that's never given their life to Christ, and you're getting ready. You know the end is coming soon. We all know it's coming. Could be any day. If that's you this morning, slip your hand up, say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I've never given my life to Christ, but I'd like you to pray for me." Anyone? Just wait a moment. Someday you're going to stand before God. He's going to say, "Remember that time back on the 26th when the pastor gave that altar call? That was your last call. Why didn't you take it?" Anyone? All right, I'm going to pray for those who lifted their hands. Lord, I just pray for those who lifted their hands very, very bravely in the power of the Holy Spirit, lifted their hands and said they're not where they feel like they should be. And I pray, Lord, that you would love on them. And Lord, they would love on you. And Lord, there would just be a refreshing there. Kind of like a cool breeze on a hot summer day, or a nice warm wind on a spring day like today. I pray, Lord, that they would just refresh them and draw them closer to you. Their eyes would be open to the darkness around them, and they just can't afford to wander too far from you. To keep that fire burning, keep the lamp lit, keep the oil full. I just pray that all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, good job, guys. Dan?
Grab your hymnals and turn to page 676. 676, Jesus Saves. I didn't put it on the overhead. I don't know if it's in there or not. 676, Jesus Saves. We'll sing the first and the last verse. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Find the steeps and cross the waves. Onward taste our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Verse 4. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation's for